This evening, if you would, if you would, turn to page 139.
Thank you.
I do look forward to the day when we will say farewell to that hour of prayer. Because now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You know, I appreciate the fact that we're going to be able to speak face to face with the Lord.
It's better to meet that face. Look at the scene there. Now, I'm glad I didn't post about it.
Yeah, preacher, somebody told me you have like some metallic there or something like that.
What's funny, somebody said, when we started laughing, somebody said, I just envisioned Billy Mitty going down the road like secretly listening to that. And I said, yeah, is there anything?
Somehow I was thinking more something like the Isaacs or the Spencers, but I think that's more our speaking. The other day, Miss Vivian's cell phone started doing something, and she couldn't get to quit. I wasn't here, so I got to start secondhand. I'm never here for stuff like that. Between, you know, Scott and Sherry's conception getting announced, and I always miss the good stuff. I'm always preaching when that stuff happens. I think it's, I don't know, maybe the Lord just knows I might get a little out of hand or something. I don't know. But anyway, we do appreciate Miss Frankie being with us here tonight. It's been a long time, bro. It feels like it's been a long time. But I always appreciate getting to see old friends again. And as we always say, and we'll take you to this local assembly, that local assembly, but we're all one church. Man, we're all one family, we all going to the same place.
Amen.
And one of these days, we're all going to get to be together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like can't meet them except bigger and better.
Yeah.
Because there'll be even more. So, we appreciate what the Lord has for us. And a lot of times, I know, and I'm the same way in this flesh. It's really hard to get, sometimes, to get your mind to see the reality of it. Sometimes it really does feel like just something far off that, you know, you're never going to get there. It's kind of what it seems like a lot of times. But the fact is that it's true. No matter how you feel about it or what kind of mood you're in, the fact of the matter is it's true. And I think, too, that the fact that we realize that it's true helps us more maybe than we notice in the moment. Because imagine how we would really be reacting to what's going on in the world right now if we actually didn't think those things were true. If we really thought this was all we were going to get, right? That this is the best we were ever going to have was this side of the grave. We'd probably be reacting a whole lot differently to what's going on in the world. And when I see the things that are going on in our nation, when I see one of our previous presidents almost assassinated by the grace of God, when I see our nation under the leadership ostensibly of a man that doesn't know where he is most of the time, and then wondering who's really calling the shots, and everybody has their guesses, and you see all the political backbiting, this one's going after this one's going after that one, I am to an extent discouraged by that. Because I want to see my nation prosper.
Right.
But at the same time, I realize that what I'm seeing is things happen exactly the way God said they would.
Yeah.
So I see God's plan falling in order. So even though on one level those things discourage me,
right.
On the other hand, I see the truth of Scripture being borne out.
Yeah.
I see the world moving towards that one world system of the Antichrist more every day. Which does not do anything but confirm exactly what the Scripture said was going to happen. Right? So, you know, we see God's hand in all of this, and we can appreciate that God's Word tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who were called according to His purpose. And we can claim that promise because He's made it to all of us. So, thankful for what the Lord does. Appreciate Him letting us be here tonight and be back in His house. We can come pray. Here in a minute for you, who's got a request of prayer, but lift the hand. Amen. Amen. Remember all these. Do you remember our pastor? He's got a staph infection, so he's not going to be shaking nobody's hands. But just pray that that'll get cleared up and everything. And then also pray for Burns Memorial. Maddie was telling me that most of them over there have got some kind of sinus thing that's going around. So that's why they're, who could it be? Oh, okay. Did y'all bring them? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so they come.
Thank you.
Really great to
meet you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. number? You gotta be getting close, right?
No, I'm only 13.
Oh, okay. I thought you were closer to Noah's age.
Nothing.
I don't know. It's like, I can't tell old people, right? When it's guys, it's okay, right? Because not too many guys get offended about their age, but I definitely don't try to guess women's age unless I'm gonna guess like way lower. That's a dangerous game to play right there, you know. So, that came up in Bible school. I won't waste a bunch of time on this, but when I was in Bible school over at Preacher Carol Crump's church, you know, they asked me to help.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of, you know, I didn't know anybody in the room, and they told me intermediate, but, like, I think maybe their definition of intermediate and the definition that I had known was maybe different because it was, like, upper teenage. And, like, I don't know, whatever. But I'm like, okay, so how old are y'all? We're just going to go around the room, and you can tell me, you know, how old you are, and I don't know, where are you from, generally, where do you live? And one of the models in there is like, I'm not asking you, that's inappropriate. I just kind of, you know, went on, and, you know, they laughed it off. It's like, no, that's not what we're doing. But anyway, I just texted Preacher Wayne. I don't know, have you talked to him recently? But he was saying that his fatigue's been a bit worse recently, but he said he's still able to preach.
Yeah.
So praise the Lord for that. And I was trying to figure out too what they were doing for his mom. And he said something about, well, they didn't have to do any kind of treatment or anything, but I guess he means other than normal stuff, because she had an infection, so I'm assuming that must mean that she got some kind of antibiotics. Like, does anybody know for sure? Or, but the way he talks, she's doing okay?
Yeah, he told me about the infection, actually. He said that he probably had an infection,
whatever.
Yeah. I hadn't heard about that, so.
Okay, that's why I wasn't sure if it was, like, clearing up or anything like that. The way he talks, she's doing good, so. Praise the Lord for that. I don't know, do you remember Miss Kathy Hudson, Jeremy, Kathy, and Jerry? Okay, I didn't know because they did some of the stuff with Dad's ministry with us. Yeah, Kathy was his wife. So the other day she had some kind of test and they thought she had lung cancer. Then it turned out she didn't. She just had some kind of infection in there that they were seeing. So everybody's really thanking God for that. And, I don't know, I think she's, you know, getting cleared up and stuff. So we appreciate it. We're working in that. Remember Miss Terry, she's still got some blurriness in her eyes. And you said the 12th was your last procedure, 12th of August? Oh, it's an exam. Okay, I thought they were going to work on it again. So they're just going to check up on it again. Oh, okay. So just pray that all that will come out good. And I definitely still continue to remember Christina and little Ed. We've got about 2 weeks left, so next week will be her final checkup. And, well, you know, if you don't come, she'll get induced on the Sabbath, Lord willing. So just pray that all that will come out well. She had a checkup today. Everything was looking good. So we thank the Lord for that. She hadn't really progressed at all, but I don't know. I kind of think that's sort of, you know, normal. So, again, we appreciate that. And how is Stormy?
She's doing pretty good. She's still, you know, sort of big. You know, she used to get out and she walked. You know, she'd go walk there for last week in Valley's. Mm-hmm. She'd walk from one end of town to the other, about, you know, six, 7 times. You know, she'd walk for a couple hours. And she said, you know, it's difficult for her to just walk from her house down around her basement. About she's a big, yeah, she's going to go, she's thankful. She's grateful, you know, she said that she just prayed and asked God that, you know, if she could just have her eyesight back, that she would just, you know, be so thankful. She said, God, give me my eyesight back.
So is it pretty clear?
Yeah, she can see pretty good. She can see. She said, I called her a couple of days, and she said on her porch, she's just looking at the sky, and looking at the trees, and looking at everything God's made, and just enjoying it.
Amen. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Continue to pray for her. I'm trying to think. I feel like I know there's other stuff. Who else has got a request this evening? Yes. Yeah.
And, a friend, we were really close during our teenage years, passed away yesterday, and married. And we were there with a great family. She was a great
family. Okay. If you remember this family. Yeah, little Lucy, they're having trouble with her keeping food down. She's got a lot of reflux and stuff, so they're trying to change her formula. She's not getting weight like she's supposed to, so they're a little bit concerned about that, so pray for her. How's Melissa doing?
Not feeling good. She had to have an IV today. She
going back in the morning for another.
Okay.
This can't get her to beat the dehydration or whatever, she just feels terrible. So just pray for her.
Has the stomach bug part?
Yeah, it's been going since Saturday. She just can't get over the dragging and tiredness.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She felt pretty real flushed today.
Hey, man, remember this.
Remember,
March 12th,
what I hear is the
COVID's
down there.
Oh, okay. Amen. Remember that. Mm-hmm. Successful?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. And then remember this. Okay. Yeah, sorry, she's a man.
Keep praying for Emma's boyfriend's dad. He's
right.
Still in a coma. He's got pneumonia now. He's got an infection from this intubation tube. They want to do a tracheotomy, but his valves aren't stable. He's just not.
Where is he?
In Charlotte, I think CMC, Charlotte.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah,
so he's at one of the bigger hospitals.
Yeah, so still, of course, in the ICU. Gives us what the Lord
gave him. And it's all stuff, it's called foundations because it's things that are foundational to the faith. So we do that on the last Sunday of each month, usually, unless there's something else, you know, at 5 o'clock. So, of course, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to pull you away from your church. I don't know what your situation is there. But if you don't have nowhere to go, of course, you know, we'd be glad to have you here. But, you know, it maybe let you talk even if you haven't had a chance to study. But do remember our foundation study, that's always a blessing. Anybody else got anything before we go pray?
Remember choir practice at 4:30.
Yes. I'm glad not to talk about, I've already forgotten about that. Choir practice at 4:30. Did everybody hear? So 30 minutes before foundations this coming Sunday. You said we got what? A couple songs?
A couple songs we won't learn.
Yeah.
Two right here. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, pretty good.
I want to thank God for saving me.
Amen.
I want to thank God for answering prayers. My daddy went to church Sunday morning.
Amen. Amen. We're good.
We went over to his wife, but we're not here.
Amen.
And, also, my mom said she'd been going to church with her at the restaurant. And she'd been going with the services they had over there tonight.
Uh-huh.
And she was excited about it.
Amen.
You know, it's been a long time since I seen her, you know, be able to enjoy something like that much, you know. But, yeah, this is going to be great for that. Great for her. I've got lost family. I got neighbors. I got folks I work with and family things lost. Actually, pray for me. And I pray for a life. Not just me, but pray for a life. We've got to have a belief and have a life.
Right. Amen.
We're seeking and praying for what you do. So let's pray for an earnest that God can give it to us. I'm praying for it for myself. I want it. And I'm going to have it. And if you want to join me, just really pray.
Amen.
You want it.
All right, that's all. Let's have a break. Just remember our pastor preaches tonight from the music library this evening.
Serve you, that we turn from sin and wickedness, God, and we desire with a lot of newer calculations for others, giving us all the desires for our water. Lord, you're so much better than we deserve, God, but we thank you for others, thank you so much for being so good all.
We ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
It's good to be in the Lord's house this evening.
Amen.
Thank God for allowing us to come in and be here once again. I will say, if any of y'all get staph infection, I'm sorry. I've had these bumps on my stomach and have been there for a couple weeks. I didn't know what it was. I don't go to the doctor until I have to, you know.
Amen.
But they got real big, sore, you know, this week and yesterday. This sore, I couldn't move the twist without really hurting. And I showed my wife, and she sort of freaked out. And then she's like, you got staph infection or MRSA or something. You're going to die in these sepsis and die tonight. She's like, you need to go to the hospital. And, you know, she's like freaking out on me. So I was like, oh, man, you know. So I called the doctor, and I was explaining to them, you know, I was like, hey, I was like, Stephanie's having conniption. You know, I got some bumps on my stomach. I was like, you know, what do you think I need to do? He called back. He's like, well, you better just come in and let me look at it. And I told him when I got there, and I was like, I was trying to not make it sound that bad because I really didn't want to come. He's like, yeah. He's like, and I know you well enough to know that if she got you to call, he's like, I probably need to see you. So he's like, I'm glad you did come. He's like, because it is dangerous. So anyways, so yeah, he put me on a bunch of medicines. And as much as I drink water, that one medicine, I forget what it's called. One of you nurse people, which I don't know if any of the nurse people's here today, can tell me this. It's something that's got the word sulfur in it, but it's a big long word. And it says be sure and drink a lot of water with it. And I see why, because it's got me really thirsty, I think. Like even more so than usual. But in any case, remember this week's foundation study, and who, I don't know if it's the staff or the medicine, they got me on what, but my mind is a little bit cloudy or foggy tonight, so pray for me about that. But in any case, the foundation study for this week, Sunday at 5, if you don't remember, the question was, we all believe that the King James Version of the Bible is the most accurate English translation. Why is that? So you can use examples from Scripture. You'll find things that other versions have left out and a few things that they've added. And you can use some of those things. And you can also look at the historical origins of the King James Version versus other versions of the Bible. And it'd be a blessing to you, because I don't just want you to take my word for it, take my own dad's word for it.
Right. Amen.
That's why we use the King James Version. I want you to see the evidence for yourself.
Yeah.
As to why you should read and judge, study and use the King James Version Bible. I'm not one that will even, you know, we've talked about this, and, you know, y'all might know how I feel about it. There's, you know, a lot of folks that are, you know, independent fundamentalists. That's what we are, right? We're independent fundamentalists, right? We're not ashamed of that.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed of that. I hope you're not ashamed of that.
Right.
But there's many of us, you know, that's a part of that group that would say, go for so far as to say, if it's not King James, that it's not, you know, Bible. And it's not the true word of God. I will agree with that. But however, they mean it in the sense that, you know, if you're not reading the King James, you can't be saved. If you're not reading the King James Bible, you can't grow with the Lord. Well, you know, I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to say that God could most definitely use another version of the Bible. But it's just like I was making the example, you know, Sunday, or when I was talking about it, you know, is, you know, if you want to buy a pair of sunglasses, you'd want the Oakleys or the Costas, you don't want the fake ones. You might get some use out of them, right?
Yeah.
They'll block the sun, but they won't do as good of a job. They won't last as long.
Yeah.
Over time, they'll start to crack and break, and you'll find that, you know, they're not as quality, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're talking about here. It's not as quality as the real thing. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, but I want you to look at that for yourselves. That's what this foundation is about. I hope y'all understand that. Is that all the questions that I give, that we give to think that, and pray about, to give you, is things that you need to look into for yourself.
Yeah.
So that, you know, God was able to show you and reveal those things to you, not just take my word for it, or mom and dad's word for it, but any preacher's word for it, the Sunday school teacher's word for it, but you've discovered it and seen it, and God's revealed it to you personally. And then you're able to have that equipment.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know, have that answer for that question. In any case, all right. Moving on. What else? Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm foggy headed tonight. I was last night. And I wasn't even on the medicine, so I don't know if it's some kind of sinus thing. I don't know. Oh, is anybody going to sing? Does anybody got a song they want to sing? Amen. Come on, Silas. Y'all pray for me too, Mom. Many of y'all have wrote a small Bible. It's pretty well on its last leg. And that Bible means a lot to me, and I don't want it to just completely fall apart, so I've decided to semi-retire it. This is going to sound stupid, but if the Lord really gives me something that I feel I need, that Bible, I might still bring it back out for special occasions. I know it's not in the object, but you just don't understand. That was that's my man. There's a story behind that.
Yeah.
In any case, I've borrowed, I'm going to have to get you a new Bible, but I borrowed my wife's new Bible, and I'm going to start using it some until I can find one that I'm happy with. But in any case, all right, y'all go ahead. But I don't feel right without my Bible, so that's why I said pray for me. I felt naked walking in here tonight, even though I was carrying it. It just didn't seem feel the same.
I'm
benefits.
Expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, for
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. A hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28 says this, and we know all things work together for the good, or for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified.
Yes, amen.
What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Father, for this day and this word. Pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. God, that you'd anoint this preacher, Lord, tonight. God, that you would just touch and be able to open our hearts to receive your word. Let it not be a man, but it's you that speak here tonight. Lord, I'm having trouble with my memory and gathering my thoughts even tonight. God, I know that you've said that your strength is perfected in my weakness, and I pray that that be the case tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I've never actually preached specifically on this, but I've used this a lot in other messages that I've preached and just in general. And I think I've quoted a lot of Romans 8 in this chapter, and I've preached parts of Romans 8, and I might have even read this as part of a text that I was preaching, but specifically tonight I want to preach on verse 28. But because it's in my nature, God called me to this purpose, and God put it in me to do this. The type of preaching that I usually do is what you would call expository preaching. Yeah. That's where that you take a text and you expose the text. And that's just the way that God put it in my heart to do it. And the other common type of preaching is what you call topical preaching. There's a topic and you give the supporting text. And I do go into that sometimes, if that's where the Lord leads. I just want to follow God. I don't try to make 3 points out of it. If there's not 3 points, I don't try to come up with 3 S words or 3 I words. And I don't know probably anybody that does. I remember a lot of those messages. Amen.
Yeah.
They stick with me. And I'm thankful for that. But I just do it. All I know how to do it is the way that God put it in my heart to do it.
Yeah.
And so because of that, there is a
few things that I want to mention. First of all, where he starts here in this line of thought in verse 18, like I said, that word reckon, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He's saying here, first of all, that I know you go through tough times. Now, I want you to consider the source, amen? That's something that you ought to do whenever you're reading something, yeah, or whenever you hear something in life, you know. I remember one time as a man giving me a hard time because I was telling him that I'd beat a dog half to death because it wouldn't shut up barking. His old coon dog I had, and I was giving it away because I didn't have time to hunt it and everything else, but that thing wouldn't hush. And I told him, man, this man, he was a drunk, and he was a drug addict, and he was well known for it, and he cussed, and he said, GD more than any man I ever known. I've known him a long time. But in any case, long story short, I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you, that's dog will bark. I said, this dog will not hush. I said, I'm telling you, I said, ain't nothing you can do to get this dog to hush. I said, it will bark and bark and bark. I said, I'll beat this dog. I said, I'll come out here and just beat the death out of this thing. It's a dog. You can beat a dog, amen? But in any case, he said, that's awful. He said, what kind of preacher are you? He said, you know, they go out there and beat a dog like that. That's what he told me. And I said, well, and I said his name. I said, well, so-and-so. I said, you know what? That might hurt coming from somebody else, but coming from you, I don't mean nothing. That's what I told him. And you say, well, that's ugly to say, but like I said, you know, he's been ugly to me, and, you know, that's just nature of man, right? We're going to say something back. But in any case, I was considering the source where that's coming from. I wasn't going to let that hurt me, yeah, because, like I said, I was considering where it's coming from. And in life, you'll find that if you're going to live for God, and you're going to serve him, let me tell you something. This whole animal rights thing, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail here too much, but that is not a Christian thing, okay? Now, conservation, I believe, is. Why? It's because that's stewardship. Yes. But this, yes, let me tell you something. You know who the first ever government to come up with an animal rights campaign was? Can anybody tell me that?
Yeah.
Under who?
Hitler.
Amen, that's right. It was Nazi Germany that are during the Third Reich under Hitler. They said, we'll put the Jews and the Poles and everybody else in the concentration camps and kill them, but we'll take care of the animals. And they would penalize you for abusing animals. So that's what I'm saying. Where's that? Romans 1. They worship and serve the creature more than the creation. The creator, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to, and then he goes into this, some of what we're talking about here, how the creation itself groans for deliverance from the bondage of vanity and the bondage of corruption. But in any case, whenever he's talking about here the sufferings, we consider the source where it's coming from. As a Christian, you'll find that living for God and doing things that the world's got a standard of what they think is right and wrong. Everybody's got their own standard, right? Yeah. Well, their standard is subjective whenever they're not being saved and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. My standard of what's right and wrong is objective.
That's right.
Because it comes from the Word of God.
Yeah.
I agree with God.
Yeah.
I might fail God from time to time. Oh, actually, that's a lie. I might fail God all the time.
Yeah.
But you know what? The objective remains the same.
Right.
Meaning that I know what's right, and I know what's right, and I agree with God, amen?
Yes.
And guess what? He don't ever fail me. He don't ever fail you. And so I understand what is right and wrong because I agree with God. When I was lost, I didn't agree with God. I had my own standards about what was right and wrong. But you'll find that the world will pick on you. They'll pick you out. They'll try to call you out and say, well, you're a Christian. You shouldn't do this or say this. And all the time, they'll try to point a finger. Preacher Billy, I know you've talked to me about it before. He's had rental property before where the people wasn't even paying the rent. And because he was wanting what they owed him, give him a hard time about being a Christian, wanting money from them that they owed him.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way the world is, amen?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the Bible says, owe no man anything. Pay your debts. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
To pay your debts. So in any case, that's the way they do. But you got to consider the source. Whenever the world's doing that to you, whenever somebody in the world's doing that to you, you've got to consider the source. Yeah. And at the same time, if somebody's sharing some wisdom with you, or if they're telling you something beneficial, you need to also consider the source. Amen?
Amen.
So if somebody critiques me, and they tell me something about me that I might not want to hear, I consider the source. And if it's coming from somebody that's living like hell, it's not going to bother me. But if it's coming from a good man or woman that's serving the Lord, then I'm going to pay attention to it. Even though it might hurt me, it might help me. Yeah. Right? Because I've considered the source of where it's come from. Paul told Timothy, he said to not forget. I said my mind's foggy tonight. But he said over there in Timothy, he said, remember of whom thou hast learned these things.
Yeah.
He said, remember the source where you learned this from. We can consider the source the same way whenever we hear something beneficial. You consider the source. That's what the Bible says, right? It says you should know them by their fruits. Amen. It says a good tree bears good fruit, and a corrupt tree bears evil fruit. Amen. So you consider the source. That's why I'm not letting my life be led by quotes of Nietzsche. Amen. Because I consider the source. Whenever I hear something in a textbook or I read a quote, I want to know where it comes from. I want to know, is it biblical? I want to know if it lines up with the Word of God, because this is truth, amen? And so I consider the source. Now, in understanding that, I just said all that to say this tonight. Let's consider the source of the one who's talking about these sufferings. If somebody was to have it real good, you know, and they've not really had any much difficulty, I don't think that I've ever had a whole lot of difficulties in life. I've been blessed. Everything seemed to work out real good for me. As a matter of fact, I've almost lived a life that Joel Osteen would be proud of. I've not really had to have a little bit of cancer. I mean, I've had a few, bruised knees and broke bones and different things, but I've got three healthy youngins. I got a beautiful wife, and she's been faithful to me, and I've been faithful to her. We've not had a whole lot of trouble in life, and I thank God for that.
Yes.
And what a blessing that is. And I consider myself a wealthy man. I haven't got much in my bank account, but I consider myself a very wealthy man based on God's standards.
Yes.
And so, like I said, for me to talk to somebody that's went through a whole lot of difficulty, some of y'all went through a whole lot of difficulty, you've told me about, and for me to talk to you and to tell you what I think about it and how to deal with it, might not mean as much to you as somebody who's been through something like that herself, right? Now, I can take and give you the Word of God,
right.
and that's superior to anything that would be my opinion, right? And that's what I would try to do as a pastor and as a friend, is to give you the Word of God. But when we consider the source of the one that's writing about this, saying that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared, consider what Paul himself had went through. How that he had endured beatings. How that he had endured sufferings. How that he endured people turning on him. He had friends that turned on him. He had friends that run his name in the ground. They talked about him behind his back. They told people not to listen to him, to turn away from him. People, when he got in prison, they despised him because he was in bonds, and they made up lies about him. They said, well, he wouldn't be in prison if he'd have went with God. They said he wasn't going with God's the reason he went to prison. They made up all kinds of devilish things to tell on Paul. And through all that and all the beatings that he went through, he'd been stoned. He'd been bit by serpents. He'd been chased by people and run down. And all the things that he'd been through, he says that these sufferings are not worthy to be compared. Amen. So whatever you're going through in life, you consider what Paul went through. And he said that the sufferings that you go through, as great as they might be, I think about people that's lost children, one of the horrible things. People that's lost a spouse and the difficulty and the loneliness that comes with that. And I think about people who's facing cancer or diseases that are going to kill them. Say, well, you might think, well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't fear death. And, we shouldn't. We should have peace about it. Sometimes nobody wants to die.
Right.
God put it in you to not want to die.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
If it was a biblical thing for us to just, not fear death at all, and to, not want to live at all, and there would be mass suicides among Christians.
Yeah.
As far as, statistically speaking, a Christian is the least likely person to commit suicide.
Yeah.
There are Christians who do that.
Yeah.
But like I said, they're the least likely. You know why? Because they have hope.
Right.
Because they have an external joy. It's not based on their circumstances. They can find that. They can cling to that in the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. And in the person, Jesus Christ, amen. who came and died for. And so,
I said that medicine got me real pushy.
And so whenever we consider what Paul has said, and we consider how difficult life can be, and when we consider how hard it can be to face different things, even disease and pain and suffering, we consider the fact that if we're saved, we know where we're going.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
If it wasn't for the fact that we feared death, if it wasn't for the fact that we had a desire to live, that God had put in us a natural desire to live, then what would stop us from just ending it right now? It's because we have a natural desire to live that God put in us. Especially as a Christian, I understand and know that this life is short anyway.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to have to put up with this old world much longer, no how. Sooner or later, in a short time, if I live to be 95, I doubt I will. But if I do, it'll be a short time. I'm going to get to go home, amen?
Yeah.
And while I'm here, I want to serve God. I want to take what time I've got left. I spent enough years living for the devil. I spent enough years serving him. The time I got left, I'm going to serve God. Amen. It ain't as if he needs me. He don't need me. He can do his will with anybody, anything he wants to. I thank God that he lets me be a part of what he's doing. What a blessing it is to get to serve God. Amen. What a blessing it is to get to stand and preach. What a blessing it is to get to read my Bible and learn more about God. What a blessing it is to get to go to the throne of grace and pray to God, and God put his ear down and listen to me. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to see God answer prayer. I went over there to rest home Sunday afternoon, and I was talking to Mama, and her mind's not like it used to be, and she can't recall a lot. And she told me, you told me you was praying for your daddy to go to church. She said, God answered your prayer. He come in this morning and said, I gotta go, I'm going to church. And I just started crying. And I said, I'm glad to tell him. He wouldn't tell me, he's too proud to tell me. Because I hit on to him a long time about going. He still ain't told me. I ain't asked him about it because I don't want him to quit going. But that's all right. But I thank God for answering prayer. Amen. He's a good God. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. I look forward to the day that I don't have to live down here in this old sin-cursed world no more. But what a blessing it is to get to serve God and see God's word and allow me to be a part of that. Amen. That's a blessing. Ain't nothing will bless you. I'll tell you, a new house wouldn't bless you. A new car wouldn't bless you. I'll tell you, the most land you could buy or the most vacation you could have, it wouldn't bless you the way that it bless you to see God come through and answer some prayer and to see God come through and do some things. Hey, but I will tell you, a lot of times we're too lazy to put in effort to allow God to use us. We just want to sit back in our own worldly estate and in our own hellish minds and to keep going the way we're going. And well, God, I come to church on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Ain't that enough? And we don't want to go and open our Bible and read it. We don't want to pray to God and get down on our knees and pour our heart out. We don't want to serve God and tell somebody about Jesus. We just want to have things our way. St. Burger King. Hey, I want to tell you, it's got to be his way or no way. Guess what? Now you can go somewhere and order something to eat, and you can have it your way, and you think that's what you want, and it might be the way that you do your liking, but I will tell you, God knows better for what's good for me and you than we do ourselves.
Yeah. Amen.
And then you don't know what kind of blessings you're missing out on.
Yeah.
By not just serving and living for him, letting him use you. Mm-hmm. Seeing him do things with your life. You know, sometimes God put it in your heart to pray things. I'm getting ahead of myself. There's scripture here on this. Let's slow down. Get back in the text. That's what happens when you get excited. You get to preaching too far away from the text. And the next thing you know, you miss things. You got to go back with confused people. Leave people just as confused as you are. But he says that he reckons that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I wish I had more time. I don't have to hurry. But in any case, I've got to get back to walking. I'm going walking tonight. I've got to go do it, because if I don't, I'm going to get out of shape. And I think that's part of what's wrong with me is I quit walking, I quit exercising. I got to get back to that. And I know the Bible says, quote unquote, the Bible says about exercise. It profiteth a little, right?
but there is a little problem.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I need to exercise a little anyway.
Yeah.
But in any case, moving on, he's talking about these sufferings. Whatever that you're going through, God knows about it, and it's nothing. It's not even worth to be compared to the glory that awaits you one day. Amen?
Amen.
And to move on, like I said, I wanted to get into this, talk about the creation and how that if you can read that, you can study that. But he talks about how that the creation itself longs for the day to be delivered from the bondage of vanity, from worldliness, the bondage of corruption. And he says the same way that we do. He says to we in verse number. He says in verse number 23. He says not only the creation. He's talking about the entire earth, the plants, the animals. He says, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves growing within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. Now I'll tell you, my soul has been redeemed, amen?
Yeah.
I hope you're saved tonight. If you're not, I hope that you'd ask God to save you and not spend another minute lost, not knowing where you might end up whenever you leave this world. But I want to say this, that if you're saved, your soul has been redeemed, amen?
Right.
My soul, guess what? Your body has not been redeemed.
Right. Yet. Right.
That's why the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit.
Yep. Yes, sir.
That's why you keep sinning.
Yeah.
That's why you keep messing up. That's why you feel depressed. That's why you feel anxious. That's why you feel unworthy. That's where all of your depression and anxiety and bad feelings come from, is your sin-cursed body.
Yeah.
The joy that you have and the goodness that you ever good gift and ever perfect gift comes from where? Cometh down from above,
yeah,
from
yeah.
the Father of lights. Amen. Yeah. But the Bible tells us this, that the flesh wars against the spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible says that our flesh has not been redeemed. That's why it says there that just as the earth itself groans and waits the redemption. That's talking about that millennial reign when God comes down.
Yeah.
And it says that the sons of God, the children of God will be here and they'll deliver it from the bondage of corruption that it's in. Hey, I'm telling you, that means it'll be taken care of the way that God intended, amen, whenever he has his way. In the same way, hey, when that last trump sounds and this corruptible shall put on incorruption.
Right.
How about that? This body which is corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Then is brought to pass to say death is swallowed up in victory. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that I've got victory over hell. I've got victory over death. And one day I'm going to have victory over sin. Amen.
Amen.
This ain't going to be a problem no more. And I'm thankful for that. Everything that we go through, you know what? You say, well, I'm probably suffering because I've sinned. You're right. I hate to tell you, but you're right. You know, and when I say that, I'm not saying, you know, we should go judge and people and say, well, you know, when they're going through something, I wonder what they know. The Bible says not to do that.
Right, yeah.
The Bible says that we all have sinned. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But I'm saying that cancer is in this world because of sinful mankind.
Amen.
I'm not saying that you get cancer, it's because you was a sinner above somebody else. Jesus took care of that ultimately, didn't he? There was some men that come to him and said, you know, what about these men whose Pilate mingled with the blood of their sacrifices in the temple? You know, were they, you know, Jesus said, suppose you that they were worse sinners than all they in Judea? He said, I say, they, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Yeah.
He's saying that you're all just as guilty, right?
Right.
But we know that corruption is in the world because of sinfulness, right?
Yeah.
We understand that, you know, we together as mankind suffer and go through atrocities because of sin and sin nature, right?
Yeah.
So that's where that comes from. One day, that's going to be took care of too.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad of that. Now, whenever we look at this, he says, verse number 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, he's not just talking about that the Spirit helps you in your aches and pains. Don't take this out of context.
Right.
He says, it helps us in our infirmities. That word there for infirmities means insufficiencies. It means something that is less than sufficient. And it says, the Spirit also helpeth us our infirmities. Look at the context. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes, you know, we get to a place where we don't even know how to pray or what to pray for. You ever been there?
Amen.
It's not talking about just when you're in pain. It's talking about when you're going through pain in here.
Yeah.
Going through hard times. I hope I really have a broke leg and a broke heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I've had broke legs. I can testify. It is not as painful. Amen. If you've ever had a broke heart, you know what I mean. Like I said, many times, the most foolish saying I've ever heard, that's why I said consider the source. Is it biblical or not? One of the most foolish sayings I've ever heard is, you know, they teach kids to say it, sticks and stones may break my bones, words never hurt me. That's so foolish.
Yeah.
It'll beat me half to death, I'll take it. You can ask my wife, I still missed out at the start. I started my sorrows at, I was 5 years old, I got beat up on the playground one time, and Daddy put me to shame and get me down the road about it. And so from then on, I would literally hit my head against stuff to make myself tougher. I punch myself in the gut to make myself tougher. I pinch myself and just hurt myself just to make myself tougher. And I don't like to admit this, but I still do stuff like that today. I'll invite kids and people to punch me in the stomach just to see if I can take it and punch me in the head and stuff like that. And I know it's stupid, but for whatever reason, I like it. I don't know. But in any case, I can take that. And I'll tell you what, you can take it to. You might not think you can, but when the moment comes, your adrenaline will spike up. If you ain't ever been in a fight, I'm going to tell you this. If you ever get in a fight, somebody hits you. The minute they hit you, you don't feel another punch. If they don't knock you out in the first punch, you don't feel another punch. Because your adrenaline will spike up, and that anger will be. The next thing you know, you'll just be into it, and you won't even know what's going on. But in any case, somebody can say some things, right? People that you love.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Can say things that you'll never forget that'll hurt you forever.
Yeah.
Words. They can hurt you forever and ever and ever. Never go away. Yeah. And so that's what I say. That's one of the most foolish sayings that I've ever heard. But whenever he's talking about infirmities, he's talking about insufficiencies, he's talking about pain that you feel that's in your heart, the worst kind of pain. And there's been times where you've been so brokenhearted, and there's been times where you've been just so dismayed and disheartened, and then you went through the walk of life and had all kinds of trials. Maybe it was physical things. Maybe it was spiritual things. Maybe it was social things. Maybe it was family things. But it's got you down in your mind and in your heart. And it's got you to a place to where that you don't even know. The Bible says the Spirit makes intercession for us.
Yeah.
And then furthermore, to solidify that context, it says in verse 27, the following verse, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It says he searches the hearts. I'm glad that we got a God that knows what's on our heart. Amen. Sometimes I can't even give words to what I'm feeling, but I got a God that understands that. And you know what? He's not one that is foreign to that feeling. He is not a God that does not understand what it is to feel emotional pain. As he went to the cross of Calvary, and he cried out, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had turned his back on his son because my sin was applied to him.
Yeah.
Because your sin was applied to his account. And he was paid for my sin and your sin, the suffering that he was going through. His friends betrayed. His friend Peter, who was there, who walked on the water with him. His friend Peter, who God had given a direct revelation to say that he was the Son of God of all the disciples. God had put that in the heart of Peter to understand and to see that. It was also Peter who, whenever they come to seize him in the garden, had drew his sword and cut the ear off of Malchus. And it was also Peter who that same night went and denied the Lord 3 times.
Yeah.
Amen. He says, but the same one that turned his back on his son because of our sins, he'd never turn his back on us.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he'd never turn his back on me. He'd never turn his back on you. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done, what I've said. Hey, the Bible says, he'll never leave me nor forsake me.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to get just a little further. It says, he searches the heart and knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? According to your desire, what you want? The will of God.
Yeah.
According to the will of God. And this is what I'm getting at. I'm glad that God's will is good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that God's will for you and I is good. Now, in 28, I'm out of time. We're just going to stop right there. We're going to pick this back up Sunday morning, all right?
Hey.
I'm out of time. I preached long enough, and I got so much more to go. And I felt so bad, and my mind was so foggy, I thought this would be a short message. But glory to God. Amen. It's not of the power of flesh, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
God pour out what he wants, but like I said, I'm just going to stop right there where we're at. I'm not even going to get into 28. I said, I talked up. We're going to preach first today. But I want to stop there. We'll go for 28 and we'll go on, Lord will, of Sunday morning. And we might, as a matter of fact, I don't know, we might just go back into it next Wednesday night. So if you're here, make sure to be back here next Wednesday night for the rest of that. I don't know yet. We might go to Sunday morning. We might go to Wednesday. I'm just going to pray about it. I know the Lord's given me something. I feel certain he wants me to preach Sunday morning. But if Lord will let me, we'll go back to this. If not, we'll do it Wednesday night. Or whenever the Lord gives me liberty. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to trust him. I got a bad habit. How many of y'all ever done this? Let me just add a couple thoughts to this on the back end. Can I do that?
Yeah.
How many of y'all ever done this? God tell you something, give you direction, show you something. You pop up and say, well, Lord, I got a better idea. That don't work out too good, does it? That's just the way we are, though. Second of all, I'm going to say this. Before we come over here, I was telling Parker, was talking about going to the end of August of 54. I was telling Parker, I said, I was trying to tell Stephanie, if we went up there, we'd be going Wednesday night. I said, I'd like to go to Knoxville and hear Charles Lawson preach. Any of y'all ever listen to Charles Lawson? He's blessed. I love Charles Lawson. But anyways, I was listening to him preach. Of course, Parker didn't know who he was. I said, well, here, listen to it. So before we come over here for a little bit, I was listening to a message and preaching. Something he said that stuck out my mind. And he's talking about, he said, that if you've ever played chess, he said, it's a game of extreme strategy. It's a game that'll make you think. And I've never played chess, but I've seen some real smart people play it. And I've seen how hard it makes them think. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to get into that. But in any case, I understand the gist of it, right? But he said, imagine if you will. He said, Satan is out to get you.
Yeah.
He said, he is absolutely out to get you. He said, but imagine, if you will, this is the way it's going. He said, he's engaged in a chess match with God. And he said, God on the other hand, he said, in chess, you have to anticipate the next person's move, right? That's how you win. He said, Satan, he sits and he thinks and he scratches his beard and he looks and he ponders on it. He moves his piece finally after much debate. He deliberates on it very much. And so as soon as he moves his piece, God moves his. He says, your move.
Yeah.
He said, that's kind of the way it's going. So as much as Satan is fighting you, and he is out to get you, understand this, that God's got a perfect will for your life, and that Satan is playing into his hands.
Yeah.
And there's victory that's found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I do want to add to that before we'll get back into this and we will get to verse 28. I said I was going to preach verse 28. I ain't going to preach. I still ain't going to preach the preacher. In any case, has anybody got anything on their mind for this? Does anybody have anything to come to altar tonight for this mess? Like I said, I ain't in no hurry. If you got business you need to do with God tonight, the Lord spoke to your heart for any reason, you didn't come to this altar. Please feel welcome. Don't feel as if you're holding up anybody.
Hey.
Bless you. Anybody else? Preacher. Y'all were easy to pastor. Just stay that way.
Bible says there's six things the Lord hates, and seven are abominations. But the first thing he lists is a proud look. You know, this church is just such a humble body. Keep it that way. Just keep it that way. You know, they say a good student is one that's teachable. A good congregant is one that's preaching. You preach to them, amen. I appreciate that. Amen. That's a blessing. You know, we all go through battles. We all go through hard times. If you ain't lived through hard times, you will. That song, Amazing Grace, that's singing my favorite verses. There, verse 3, where it says, through so many dangers, bulls, and snares, I've already come. He brought me safe thus far. I can't remember all, you know, exactly how the lyrics go, but, you know, it's thanks to him. I am where I am, knowing him. And as much as I wouldn't wish hard times on nobody, I know this, God's been the sweetest in them hard times.
Amen.
He's been the best and the sweetest and most precious to me in the difficult times I go through. I thank God for that. Amen. All right, all hearts and minds clear. Brother Bill Walters, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
I did kind of acknowledge yourself for the day that you gave us. I'm going to have some more time.